Welcome back to the Becoming Mom and Dad podcast. This is episode 17, week 29, and I'm sitting here, and Kaylee's sitting here, and we're going to jump into this.
And I'm sitting here yawning.
Yeah, it's late, and we're recording on Monday instead of Sunday because we honestly just kind of forgot on Sunday, and now it's even worse to record on Monday.
Yeah, so we are at 29 weeks pregnant. Technically today I'm 30 weeks, but this episode is about my 29th week of pregnancy. So we are going to dive into that. So Gemma is now about 3 pounds, which if you want a visual, she is about the size of a bag of Starbucks coffee or the size of a pomelo, which I don't know what that is. It says it's a large citrus, somewhere between a coconut and a cabbage is how big she is. And she is starting to stretch more and move more, and she's starting to lose that kind of protective coating we talked about in the weeks ago episode that protects her skin. She's starting to lose that as she prepares for coming into the world, which is crazy. I really only have anywhere between 8 and 10 weeks left of pregnancy. So we're about 3/4 of the way through pregnancy now, which is crazy. And going into all of that, there's been a lot of stuff on my mind about childbirth and just like how scary it is. So that's something I've been kind of like processing mentally for the last like a few days. It's just scary to think that somehow this baby has to come out of me and that has to be chill somehow. I don't really know how it's going to go down. So I guess we'll see. I know I've talked a little bit about like a birth plan, like how I don't really have a specific birth plan before. That's still pretty much how I feel. I'm just trying to more put my mind at ease because I'm a very big overthinker. I overplan and overcomplicate everything.
Very big.
I overcomplicate everything. And so me having a baby and trying to prepare for that is not an easy task for my brain. It's very hard to turn my brain off and just learn to go with the flow, which I know for childbirth you have to. So I'm at peace with the fact that I have to give birth. I am, honestly, I think for me in my situation, some people may like a very detailed birth plan. I think that if I overcomplicate it too much, that's where I'm going to get stressed out and let down if it doesn't go exactly the way it's supposed to go. So I think for my mental health, I need to have a more carefree birth plan. So like I've said before, epidural, maybe dim the lights a little bit. Maybe I'll make a birth playlist with some Taylor Swift in there and we'll just go with that. I did learn a lot today specifically about how this whole process looks because as a first-time mom, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if I was going to be in the hospital for hours before I gave birth, I was going to be in two separate rooms, or how the afterbirth process looks. So I kind of talked to my mom for a little bit and I talked to another coworker for a little bit. And what I basically learned is that if everything goes as a quote normal expected birth, then more than likely I will go into labor. I can either choose to labor at home for a little bit, just like on a yoga ball or getting in the shower and just kind of breathing through it. Or I can go straight to the hospital if I want. But people have said that if you go to the hospital right away, you can be waiting a very long time before you actually go to push the baby. So I don't know what I'll want to do. I'm sure in the moment I'll decide if I want to go to the hospital or not. I'll probably honestly try to, I have a pretty high pain tolerance and I'm a pretty independent person when it comes to like that kind of stuff. So I feel like I'll probably want to try to do like stay at home as long as possible before I go. So I'll probably wait until it gets to the point where I'm like, okay, yeah, that's too often. We need to just go. So I'll probably go to the hospital and then even then we can probably expect to be sitting there at least a few hours before I even go to push. So I didn't know that. I kind of thought you went there, your water broke and the baby was coming out quick. I didn't know it was like a longer process. So we'll be there for a while. I'm sure I'll get the epidural at some point. I'm probably, in my mind, I'm going to get it as soon as they'll let me get it because I want to feel the least amount of pain as possible. I've also learned today that they actually sometimes offer a second dosage of the epidural. And specifically, a mother that gave birth at the hospital that I'm going to give birth at told me that she didn't know that. And that halfway through pushing, they told her, like she was saying she could feel a lot of it. And they were like, oh, why don't you push your little button right over there and release your second dose? So she actually was able to release a second dose of the epidural on her own as like a little second wave of it. So now I know that. So I'll be able to do that if I want to. And then I kind of didn't really know what to expect as far as like after the birth happens. Like I thought, you know, I always think of these movies where they hold the baby and then they rush them away and then everybody's bombarding you and coming to see you. And I feel like for me at least, like I'm like, how do I shower after I give birth? Like, am I going to be able to just get up and shower? Am I going to be able to walk around after birth? Like, I don't know. And of course, all these things could change. But typically, from what I've heard from people that I talked to today and what I've heard from the hospital, if I have an epidural and I have a vaginal delivery and everything goes well, then more than likely the epidural will wear off. They will remove the catheter because you have to have a catheter if you have an epidural. And then the girl I spoke to today said that pretty much after she held the baby for a few minutes and they took him to his measurements, she was ready to get up and she wanted to take a shower really bad. So maybe I'll have time to get up. I might shower, whatever. And then she said about 45 minutes to an hour after he was born, she was in fresh clothes. She felt a little bit more cleaned up and she stayed in the same room she delivered in. And then she finally got settled. And that's when she let people come into the room to see her. She specifically requested only her and her husband in the room the whole time prior to that. I know I do want my mother in the room with me because one, I feel like I need her, but also I feel like Skylar needs her in there too. So I do plan on having my mother in the room with me when I do pushing, and then I'll probably be like, all right, you saw her, thanks, bye. And then I know for me at least, and Skylar might have a different opinion, but I know for me at least, like after she pretty much comes out, those first like few minutes to like an hour of like us trying to like see her for the first time and get me cleaned up, like I'd rather do that alone, like just the two of us. So that's kind of what my plan is for now. And then I also learned that I didn't think you could just get up and walk after having an epidural. Apparently, if it wears off and you feel like it, you can just get up, go to take a shower, all that stuff. So I would preferably like to get showered and rinsed off from all the stuff that's going to be exiting my body before everybody comes in the room to see me. So I guess that's what our plan is for right now.
My plan is just do whatever she wants to do.
I also did hear that it's a very good idea to, when you are about to start pushing, to have either you or your husband text somebody with a food order and a place to go pick it up. Because I also learned today that I'm not allowed to eat at all. Once I get to the hospital, I cannot eat any food. I can only have popsicles. They give you popsicles and ice, and that's all I can have. And people can bring Skylar all the food he wants, and I just have to sit there and stare at him. And I've actually heard of, like, you know, women talking about how they had to sit there and watch their families or their husbands eat because they were hungry, but like they couldn't eat. For me, that's going to be an issue because I get hangry and I'm going to be really snackish, I'm sure. So I'm going to be eating all the popsicles they let me have. So I'm going to have Skylar text my dad my little food order and his little food order. And while I'm pushing, me and my mom and Skylar can be in the room. My dad can be taking his little butt over to whatever restaurant we want to get food from. And then when I get out of my shower and everybody wants to be my baby, they can all hold the baby and I can eat because I'm sure I will be hungry. So.
Amen.
No, literally. How do you feel about having any like people in the room? I know you said you kind of felt like you might be better with my mom in there because you're nervous too.
I'm fine with having someone in the room, whoever Kaylee wants, because I'm squeamish and I'm not good in hospitals and I know that this stuff's going to freak me the hell out. So anyone I can get for moral support, I'll take, because I have to give Kaylee moral support. So I need moral support also.
I just feel like, you know, right after she's born, when we're kind of in the trenches of like, I'm going to be the most probably hot mess situation I've ever been in. I'm going to be TMI, probably doing some things on the table and that are embarrassing. I'm going to have stuff coming out of me that's embarrassing. And I would rather just be dealing with all that alone. So once she's here, I think Skylar and I are going to take that first little bit to kind of like be alone. And then once they get her cleaned up and I get myself all cleaned up, then we'll visit. And
you know, back in the day, I used to, so my grandparents had a ranch and we had cows and our cows would give birth, and my grandfather and me would have to go out at night and like sit with the cow while it gave birth so coyotes didn't eat the baby.
Oh God. Yeah. That's crazy.
Mostly it was him that went and sat out at night because I was a little kid, so I was sleeping, but I got to hear about it. I did see a cow give birth once, though.
Oh, my God.
Just fell out.
Ew. Oh, God. But yeah, I guess the whole thing, the idea of birth is scary. So I've been trying to reach out to people, other moms, and like get their advice. One of my other friends told me that she was like, everything will be fine. Don't worry. She's like, just get the epidural as soon as possible and everything will be okay. A lot of people have said that the actual pushing of the baby actually feels like you just took a really good shit, that it's actually very relieving. They said the contractions leading up to it is actually what's bad. So hopefully that's true. And if I get the epidural, the contractions won't be hopefully that bad if it works correctly. And then I'll just push her out. And then we're praying that I don't tear. But if I tear, I guess they'll stitch me up. And then I'll try to fucking take a shower, I guess. I don't know. Seems like a lot. But I know that I'm going to want food. We're going to have people visiting, which for us, we don't really have a lot of people in town to visit her anyways. I think the only people that really will probably even try to come to the hospital is my one local grandfather, and then my parents, Skylar's parents, and then my two sisters and their families may try to come to the hospital, which my other sister lives about 3 hours away from here. So if it's in the middle of the week, she might not be able to come to the weekend anyway, so we might already be home. But I'm sure there will be some people who don't see her until after we're already at home, because we don't have a lot of people that are local. So we don't have to really worry about people coming to the hospital as much. I know the only thing we've talked about as far as like, quote, rules for the hospital is, you know, it's going to be RSV season. So we've talked about it before. We want everybody to wash their hands. We don't want anybody to kiss her when she's born, because that's just too high risk. And we want to be the first ones to take pictures and post them. That's all I know. So, and wearing a mask. Skylar just motioned the mask at me, so wearing a mask.
I don't know why I didn't feel like I could just say that, but yeah.
I don't know. Is there any other things that we've talked about that we feel like, I guess just washing your hands, like.
Yeah.
I think our biggest worry is obviously keeping her healthy. We just don't want anybody to give her anything, and I feel like.
I mean, we're not major germophobes, really.
It's really just because of the season she's being born in. And I feel like if she was being born in the summer, I wouldn't be as, like, worried about it. But my sister told me that she talked to a nurse and that she said that if she was having her baby again and it was going to be at the time that we were having, like, we're having Gemma, then she would have also done the same thing. That I don't think it's that weird of a thing to expect when you're giving birth in the middle of December. I feel like most people will probably be pretty understanding of that. I know my mom.
And if they're not, fuck them.
Oh, my God. I know my mom has already talked to my older sister about, you know, the whole kissing thing. And I know my mom was a little bit bummed out when I told her I didn't want her kissing the baby. But at the end of the day, we can only, as parents, worry about Gemma. We can't worry about other people's opinions. So that's kind of where we're at on that. And also, the picture thing is greedy because I want to be the one that posts her on social media. She's going to be my baby and she's going to be cute. So I want to be the one that shares her cute little face with everybody else. I don't want people taking pictures. I also heard this horror story. I didn't even tell you this, Skylar. I heard this horror story of this mom who like gave birth, and one of her, I think it was one of her husband's family members, came into the room like pretty soon after she gave birth and took all these like horrible angle pictures of the mom with like no bra and like double chins and like sweat and like her makeup running down her face holding the baby, and just posted them all on social media while the mom was like trying to clean up and get in the shower. And then she came back out to like, you know, finally actually welcome the visitors that were there, and she got alerted by her phone blowing up of all these people commenting on these pictures of like these terrible pictures of her. And I'm like, I did not want that. So we are just going to put that rule in place. Nobody's posting pictures of me or the baby until I do. And they're going to be good pictures of me, at least. I don't care what picture you post of the baby because she's a baby. But you're not going to post some fugly little picture of me in a hospital gown with, you know, stuff all over me or whatever. I don't know. But
yeah. So besides Kaylee's mind being busy, we didn't have a very busy week. We haven't done anything else really much in the nursery, because I mean, we pretty much have most of the stuff in there besides a few things that we're seeing if people will still get us. And then we got our 3D ultrasounds done.
I was gonna let you tell the story about that one, how stubborn your daughter is, since
I rambled
for so long. You can, why don't you take us from when we went and all the way through the experience, how it went?
Okay, so we last Tuesday, right?
Yeah,
we went to get our 3D ultrasounds, and we went to this little like boutique that does it in like a town like 30 minutes from us, and it was kind of cool because I'm all new to this stuff, and I haven't even ever looked into a lot of this stuff. So I, you know, was expecting just kind of like an exam room. We'd be looking at it, but it was pretty neat because they had like a whole projector screen hooked up to the ultrasound machine. So, and they had couches and everything. So it was
popcorn.
Like, yeah, they had popcorn. So it was like me, Kaylee, and then her parents that went, and we were all just chilling on the couch while Kaylee was in the ultrasound. And, we watched them try to find Gemma, and the stubbornness Kaylee's referring to is that Gemma had her legs and arms in front of her face pretty much the whole time.
So she was basically bent in half at her torso. Yeah,
and we were able to see the face eventually, but it just took a lot of work from the ultrasound tech and Kaylee like flipping on her different sides and making herself cough and all this stuff to try to get Gemma to move around in there so we could see her face.
We were poking her with the ultrasound thing and I was coughing like crazy. And she was also like super, super nuzzled into the placenta. So like we were trying to get her to move her head just like a little bit so we could get more room to get the picture. Because it's really cool the way they do the pictures. So they actually take a whole 3D ultrasound of like the entire uterus and everything. And they can remove layers. So like it's reading like what are those waves that they emit?
I'm not sure.
I don't know, like echolocation kind of like with bats, I guess. I don't know, or like sharks, whatever. But like, it can sense how close something is to the sonogram machine. And so when you dial the little dial back, you can slowly remove the layers. So we could remove the layers of her arms and legs to an extent to see her face. And a lot of it was us trying to remove back the layers of the placenta, which was what was hard because she was so, so, so nuzzled into it that she, and they say babies do that because it's warm and it's comforting and it's like makes them feel closer to their mother. But it made it really hard to get pictures. I think we have literally one picture that has her whole face in it. And the rest of it is like just her nose and her eyes and just her mouth and her nose and whatever. And do you want to tell her how much she loved her little arms in there?
Yeah, and then she was sucking on her arm the whole time.
Yeah, she literally had both of her arms in like an X around her face. And she was just sucking on her forearm. I mean, we literally watched it on the thing. It was like live. And we just watched her sitting there just going to town on her arm.
The technician said she might be a thumb sucker, which I was a thumb sucker. So, you know, it fits.
She even said, oh, she might come out like that. You're not getting that arm away from her.
Yeah.
She finally put her legs down at some point. But yeah. We literally have a picture of her face peeking through both of her arms and both of her legs at the same time. Like, you can see both legs and both arms in, like, almost like a little half circle shape and then her head peeking through the middle. So she was very stubborn. We got to see her yawn, though. She was really cute. She was sticking a little tongue out. She was doing all kinds of cute stuff in there.
And then everyone was arguing over who she looked like, which for a minute, Kaylee and her mom were, like, saying that they looked like – that she looked like Kaylee's sister, which I was getting offended because I'm like, no, she needs to look like me or Kaylee, not some other random family member.
To be fair, my sister and I both have a very, like, specific forehead. Like, they call it the McCaslin forehead. And so I think a lot of that too was she looked like my sister, but that also just my sister has my side of the family's head. And so I feel like a lot of that was like, she looks like me and her, but Christina specifically has like some features that I felt like were prominent in Gemma. But then the more I looked at it, I feel like her chin and like her mouth and her nose kind of looked like me. But then there's a full on picture of her whole face where she looks just like Skylar. So
all I know is you want her to have my head. You don't want to be pushing out your family's heads.
I know. I have a big head. Skylar has a peanut-sized head. We've talked about
that. No, I have a normal-sized head.
No, your head. He wears youth hats.
Okay, no, I don't wear youth hats out of choice.
But you can wear youth
hats. One time we accidentally bought a youth hat and it fit.
Okay, yeah, so you wear youth hats.
Well, I don't want people thinking I run around with youth hats on, like every hat I own.
I'm just saying, I could never. I have to wear, like, I mean, I've had Skylar's mother buy me hats as gifts and have to take them back because they don't fit my head because my head is so big. So I have to have the ones, the little, what are they called? The little
snapbacks.
Snapbacks, yeah. I can't wear ones that aren't snapbacks because they just don't go on my head. Or they have to have the little, like, one with the adjustable little tab or whatever is on there. But anyways, so yeah, I feel like honestly more people for that are like removed from my family have said they see more of Skylar in her. I've had two or three friends say that she looks like Skylar, but then I also, there's one specific photo of her mouth and her nose that do look like me. But I will say, if you are questioning whether or not you should do a 3D ultrasound, it is definitely worth the money. It is worth the hype. If I could see a 3D ultrasound every week and not to pay for it, I would go. I would make the drive every week to go see her because it was so cool. We were contemplating going back for a rescan just to see if we could get any better pictures. But honestly, the lady said that she's already head down, which I was relieved to hear that because, like we've talked about before in our other episodes, we have not been able to get straightforward answers from our doctor on what her position is. And so that lady was able to tell me right away, like, oh yeah, her head's down here, her booty's over here, her back's over here. And so she is head down, but that also means that she probably won't move around too much. So it might not be worth us going to get more pictures because we'll probably get the same outcome unless for some reason she just moves. But she probably won't. She could. I don't know. So, but we're pretty happy with the pictures we got. Like I said, we got a few clear ones of her face and we kind of know what she looks like now. So it's exciting. Which, to be fair, all newborns look like newborns for the first 2 weeks and then they start to look like who they actually look like. So even though we'll know what she looks like as a newborn, we're still not really going to know what she looks like until she gets older, like later on.
So. Yeah. And then, the other thing we were going to mention was, so no one at our doctors really told us about birthing classes or anything like that.
Which,
so,
like, obviously I've heard of them, but like I just didn't even, there's so much other stuff going on that they haven't even crossed my mind, to be honest.
So
like,
we looked into that today, which, how did you get started into that anyway?
I was talking to my mom about how, like, I just don't know what to expect at the hospital. Because I was talking about, like, the hospital visits. Like, I'm a very private person, I feel like, when it comes to, like, my personal, like, I'm an oversharer. But, like, when it comes to, like, personal things, like, I only really tell, like, a very few close people, like, my private stuff. So, overall, I'm pretty private. And so, I was already kind of getting, like, a little overwhelmed with the idea of just, like, everybody seeing me so vulnerable at the hospital. And I was asking my mom, like, you know, how do people do visits? Like, am I going to be in two separate rooms? Like, blah, blah, blah. And she kind of was like, well, you need to do a tour of the hospital. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure. And she was like, she's like, have y'all done any birthing classes? And I was like, no, I hadn't honestly thought about it. Because, you know, you see in the movies where they're all laid out on the floor, like, coupled up, and they're practicing breathing and all that, which, like I said, I had known these existed. I've always wanted to do one. But honestly, the pregnancy has been happening so fast and there's so much other stuff going on, I just never thought about it again. But my mom asked me, we called the hospital and they have exactly one more round of classes happening before our due date. And it is in November and it is literally the day of election day. And for Skylar's job, he has to be there the whole time. So he literally cannot make it to the one birthing class that my hospital is offering between now and then, which for a minute made me panic because I was like, okay, well, we waited too long because they don't do them every month. The last one they did was in August, so we just missed that one. So I was nervous. I was like, great, I'm going to have to go to this birthing class alone or like try to tell him what happened at it afterwards. But he actually was really great. He called another hospital and they are offering one the week after, so we will just go to that birthing class together. I'm still going to go to the one at our hospital with my mom. My mom's going to take me just so I can see if there's anything specific to that hospital I need to know about. But at those birthing classes is when they will show you like where the rooms are and what your room will kind of look like and what you'll have in your room. So like, for example, if there's going to be a microwave in my room, I might want to know that because I like popcorn or whatever. So I'll kind of get acclimated to what that's going to be like. And then they also do a second class at our hospital about pain management and epidurals and all that. So Skylar will be able to come to that one. So in a total, I'll be going to three different classes. Skylar will just be going to the two. But I'm hoping that he will at least get to see one of the rooms at our hospital on one of the times that we're there. So we'll see. But yeah, nobody at our doctor's office even told us about them or like was like, hey, are you going to go to the birthing class? Like, we didn't really even think about it at all, which I just think, like I've said, I think with first time moms, these doctors are just like, oh, like, you know, if they have questions, they'll ask. But like when you're a first time mom, you don't even really know what to be expecting to formulate your own questions to ask. So it's just hard. And I talked to the girl who, like I said today, I talked to the girl who gave birth at my hospital and she was giving me her experience and she didn't know about the classes either. And she was like, I wish I would have gone because my husband had to go and walk everybody around the hospital because we had no idea where anything was. And like every time someone had to come visit, we had to like go get them from the lobby and like show them where to go. And we didn't even know. And like she was saying, she didn't know that she had that second release of the epidural because she didn't know about the class, so she didn't go. So I just feel like, you know, I feel like there are some things that medical professionals could be doing a little bit better. Like just providing more upfront information to first-time moms, I feel like would be a lot more helpful.
And they knew, like I called our doctor's office when I was trying to find a different class on a different day. And I asked them, I was like, oh, like, do y'all know about birthing classes around here that we could go to? And they knew about the ones at our hospital. Like, they immediately answered me and were like, oh, yeah, they're here. But I guess they just didn't feel like sharing that on their own.
Yeah, it's just very, it was very strange. So, like I've said, we kind of just are having to get information as we think of it. Like, we're not really being provided with information on the front end. So we found out about these classes. Luckily, we didn't wait too much longer and we were able to get into one for the two of us. But yes, please look into birthing classes, especially if you are interested in taking one. I know that maybe not necessarily the birthing class as much as like a priority for some people, but like I definitely think getting a good tour of the hospital and learning about like your hospital's policies. Like I found out today that I'm not allowed to eat and about the epidural and stuff. And I just feel like that's something like first-time moms need to know. And I feel like at every hospital is going to be different. I know I saw one lady online who like ate an entire Subway footlong like 2 hours before she gave birth. And like, you know, that's what I thought I'd be doing, but I guess not. So I guess just look into what your hospital does. I had also looked into pain management options at our hospital because I had heard about laughing gas being an option instead of an epidural, but unfortunately our hospital does not offer that. So, but I just think it's a good idea for people to get informed and like go to the hospital and see. Also, if you didn't know this, you have to interview a pediatrician. We still have not done that. I have a pretty good idea of who I want to use because like literally everybody I've talked to has recommended the same one. So, but we need to call him because sometimes pediatricians aren't taking on new patients. So we need to call and get our names on the list and get that all set up too. And I need to keep reminding myself of that, but I keep forgetting. So we need to do that. And like I said, the birthing classes, and that's pretty much all we have going on. I do have another doctor's appointment this week, my 30-week checkup. And I think they said I get my next ultrasound at 34 weeks. So I know for this doctor, I'm actually seeing a different doctor than I've been seeing because there are three midwives at the clinic that I go to, and depending on which one is on call is who will deliver my baby. So they suggested that I meet all of them. So I'm meeting a different one this Thursday, and then at my 32-week appointment, I will meet the third doctor, and then I guess depending on who I feel out that I like the best is who I'll keep seeing for the rest of the pregnancy. But like I've said, it's not going to matter who I like the most. It's going to be whoever's on call that delivers her. So I'm just really hoping I don't have to have a C-section. So we'll see.
Yeah, I definitely think it's important that we go to the classes and all that stuff because, I mean, at least for me, I feel like the more information I have, the less stressful and like nervous the whole situation will be. So
also, dads need to know how to support the wives during this process.
Yeah, I don't really know at all like what you do.
Or girlfriends or whatever. He needs to be able to learn what all he needs to be doing in the moment.
Yeah, because I'm like, I don't know anything of what to do inside the delivery room besides like hold her hand. So it'll probably be good. It'll probably be enlightening for me to see, you know, maybe a little bit of what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, because like we've said before, we're obviously new to this. We don't know what's going on. I think having at least my mother in the room with us during the labor part will be helpful for not just me, but for Skylar too, because he's going to be nervous. And my mom's done this before with other women and for herself. So she'll at least know. If Skylar gets froze up in the moment, doesn't know what to say to get me through it, my mom will. So
yeah, I probably will freeze up in the moment. So that'll be fun.
You better just be.
We'll have to have a post-birth episode to tell everyone.
Here, I'll give you your what you do. You just tell me you tell me I look good, and you tell me I'm doing a great job, and you tell me how literally awesome I am, and how you're so happy and proud of me for birthing our daughter, and that you're so thankful for me.
And then you'll probably be yelling at me to shut up the whole time.
No.
Yeah.
I'll be like, help.
I don't think you're gonna sound like that.
Except I'll probably use a lot of not nice words in the process. I'll probably be screaming, so we'll see. I don't know. I have like this mental picture that people just scream during childbirth, but then like I also like two of my friends have said they like during their birth it was all very like calming and they were happy and they were like relaxed and like it was a happy and joyous experience and they weren't screaming at the top of their lungs. So
I think the problem is we have all of our knowledge of birth based off movies. I think that's just like our
problem.
It
is, because every single, but like literally people that I've talked to in real life are like, oh yeah, I was just pushing and my husband was telling me to keep going and I was pushing and then there she was. So it might not be as dramatic as we think it is, but at the same time, my other friend said that she was making all kinds of animal noises while she was giving birth. So we'll see. I don't know which way it's going to go for us. Maybe my pain tolerance will pull through and the epidural will work and it can just be happy and we can be happy tearing and just being happy.
Yep, hopefully. But I think that's where we're going to wrap our episode up this week. And we will see you guys again next week. At week 30. Yeah, at week 30. Dirty 30. All right.
Dirty 30.
Hope everyone enjoyed our episode.
Bye.
Bye.